Right.
Norman Bielby.
Mm-hmm.
1907.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Middlesbrough.
Right. So, can you tell me first about your family background? What your parents were doing
we are actually the oldest Yorkshire name in existence, Bielby.
Really? Oh, yeah.
And we come from Moulton.
Mm-hmm.
My father lived in Moulton and my mother lived in Norton, which is just over the way. And I would imagine probably towards the end of the 1800s, they would come to Middlesbrough because there wasn't many farming work to do.
Yeah.
It's the same as now.
Yeah.
The number of people was gradually being lowered and there was no other industry there.
Mm.
So they came to Middlesbrough to the steelworks, which was attracting a lot of people at that time.
Yeah.
But the Welsh people came at that time.
That's right, yeah.
And that's how we came to Middlesbrough.
Yeah. So your father worked
at the steelworks. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Were you a big family?
Yes, there were 8 of us in family.
Mm-hmm. Where did you come in that?
I was the second youngest.
Hmm.
There are 2 of us left. My sister was the youngest and myself.
Hmm. So it would have been down the Cannon Street area, would it? That was the
We lived in Union Street.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you remember the house?
Very well, 147.
Yes. What was it like?
It was a terrace house, 3-bedroom terrace house. Of course, there weren't any baths and things in those days.
Mm.
But it was a very comfortable. It was considered to be rather a better house than if you knew that area at all.
Mm.
It was a series of short streets between Union Street and Newport Road to St Paul's Church.
Mm.
Tear Street, Polish Street, T Street, I forget the name of it now, but and they were sort of, we had a bay window, and they were just straightforward territory.
Yeah.
It was considered to be rather better.
Mm.
And then of course St Paul's Road, which ran between where we lived and Newport Road, was where all the heads of the works lived in those days.
Mm. So compared with a lot of people around you, you were perhaps a bit better off.
I think being country people, they tended to be more thrifty than the town people. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Townspeople wanted the money to spend on going to the pubs, but they were more thrifty than townspeople.
So your mother was from the country as well?
She was from Norton. Called a Marshall. She was a very old family in Norton.
Hmm. And did you still have relatives out there, grandparents and things?
Oh yes, in those days. Yes.
Yeah.
Granny lived until she was very, very old. And 86 Greengate, when we were little and used to go there regularly, it seemed to be a tremendous place. But when we went some years, it's been knocked down now for many years, but when we went to see it, it was such a tiny little place.
So you were able to go, I mean that was quite a regular thing, was it?
Oh yes, I used to go.
How did you go? How did you get there?
Well, I had a motorbike and we cycled, just over Chopyat way, it didn't seem so far.
But when you were really little, how would you have gone?
When we were really little, I don't know how we would go in the train. I should imagine the train would run from Middlesbrough to Scarborough, and it would go through Moulton in those days.
Mm. Mm.
There weren't any buses. If you had a trip out in the country for a day's holiday, you went on a coal cart that had been swept down and forms put on.
That's right. Were you
were
you very involved in church and chapel?
I was involved in St Paul's Church, yes.
Mm.
I went to St Paul's Church School.
Oh yeah.
And it was very good. And I was very involved in the church for many years, until I was married actually.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved here straight away, you see.
Mm. Were most people, would you say, involved in church or chapel?
I would think at that time, yes. The majority of people in those days, Sunday was a day when you when people went to church. It was and dressed in the best because people in those days worked 6 till 6, morning to evening, and 6 in the evening, 6 next morning. So there wasn't much time for dressing up during the week.
No, no. So it was just
so Saturday was the men finished at 1 o'clock on a Saturday. And but Sunday was a day when you could dress.
Mm.
The only day of the week.
Yeah.
For the adults, I mean children were all that, and we used to dress for school, but as soon as we got home your school things had to be taken off and you had to put some old things on. Life was very hard in those days. Well, not hard, I mean, there wasn't any to spare, but we didn't lack anything. I mean, like you to think we lived in dire poverty, but there weren't any frills.
No.
But if you didn't want football fields and things, you made your own games in those days.
Just street games. Do you remember them all?
Oh, yes. Hopscotch was the first one that you ever did. That was pitching and kicking a thing probably. Hopscotch. And then you could get a hoop. With a hoop. Skipping the ropes. And we used to play hide and seek. Tilivo it was called, or some such name. And cricket and football. Not with any proper equipment. If you played football, if you had a pair of shoes, well, one was lent to somebody else. And we didn't ever have, when Jack Hatfield, who was the big sports manager, went into the sports business, he used to give the children a ball and this sort of thing in those days. He was very kind. But we would mainly play with a rag ball made up with rags.
Tied up.
And we used to play on Clareville Road Recreation Ground, and that's now a great sports ground, Clareville Road. It was a cinder. It was just a flat area covered with ash.
Yes.
And that was how everybody played there, Clareville Road. Of course, you were into bed if you were at school at 7 o'clock. It was bedtime. You weren't allowed to sit up and we used to go to the pictures on a Saturday afternoon, a penny, to the pavilion, I think it was called, near Laycock's Lemonade Factory, Laycock's. There's a rare carry on going to the pictures.
Was it?
Well, you went, and you see, if you didn't behave, there was a man there with a stick. And he came and belted you with his stick, or ordered you out. I mean, it wasn't like it is now. I know if we used to take bottles of water with us, you couldn't afford to buy pop. If you had a lemonade bottle and you drank the water, and you were upstairs in the gallery, it used to slope down, you see.
Yeah.
And put your bottle in it, it would rattle down.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a simple little pleasure.
Yeah.
It's surprising, really. But they were very happy days, you know.
Yes, yeah.
We always seem to have plenty of time in those days. I don't know why it is, but people don't have enough time now.
And it's funny, people worked incredibly long hours, didn't they?
Six till six. When I started work, I went into the office at the steelworks, and I was the office boy, and I was the junior office boy. So I had to do the post at night. Well, you could post a letter in the morning, it would be delivered at dinner time, you know. Post one at dinner time, you'd get it in the evening. But the main post went to, I think it would go about 8 to 9 o'clock, and the junior office boy had to stay behind and see that the post was posted. So all the heads, I mean, people didn't finish work when the buzzer went in those days.
You finished the job.
And I had to copy them into a letterpress. You wonder what the letterpress is. It was a great big press with a ledger, and it was all flimsies in the ledger. and the letters written out in copperplate by hand.
Yeah.
And in with a sort of a purple ink. And you put the letter down, which was the thing, and you put a flimsy over it, and then a proper cloth, a proper type of cloth, just damp.
Mm.
And you close the book and hold the thing down tight.
Mm.
And slacken it off again. And if you hadn't got it too wet, you were all right. If you got it too wet, you spoiled the letter and the print.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The man had to do it again, you see. Oh. So you've got many a good hiding for that. But you soon learned, and
so that just made you a copy?
That made you kept a book, a book full of copies, you see.
Yeah.
Invoices, ledger, accounts and all this sort of thing. They were different books.
Mm.
And but then that was before typing, of course, you see.
Right, yeah.
When typing came in, men did the typing, not women. Mm. There weren't any women working. Women came to clean the offices, but they had to be away before the men came.
Yeah.
You know, funny business then. Oh, yes. You never saw them. I mean,
really? Yeah.
You realised they were, somebody must have seen them.
Just, yeah.
But they were never there when we got there.
Uh-huh.
They had to be away before.
Yeah.
If you worked in an office and you were in any position at all, you were a very important thing in those days, you know.
That's definitely,
And if you could get your children into office work rather than manual work.
Yes.
It was you were one up on the ladder to start with, although you got less money.
Yes. Was it because your father was in the works?
He was
that
in the steelworks.
That
he
you
was,
got that job,
oh yes,
think,
he was a very very well respected. He had a top job lining what they call the vessels. They were the Bessemer converter vessels that they poured, put iron in and blew air through. Nowadays they blow oxygen through at the Moss plant at Redcar, which is a similar thing exactly, except that these, it was air going through instead of oxygen, so it was didn't do it so quickly.
Yeah.
And so he was rather an important man. Not important, but...
Well, it was a responsible job.
Yeah, it was a responsible job. And of course, if your father worked in the works and you worked there, you've got to behave yourself, you know.
Yes.
it was very good. And
did you have to have quite a few duties at home, do you remember? Did you have to help?
Oh, Saturday morning we had to clean the knives and forks and things, polish the stair-rods.
Brass stair-rods. Mm-hmm.
Polish the brass stair-rods. Cleaned the knives, we cleaned them with, there was a name for it, it was a powder, a buffing powder, but there was a name, it was a pink stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of it now. But, yes, we had to clean them. We all had our own jobs,
Oh, yes.
You did them but the funniest job I had when I was a child, over the road from us lived some Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They were Polish Jews. When there was a pogrom in Poland, and this is during the First World War, and they were there. At a rough time. People treated them badly. They classed them with the Germans, you see. But they were Poles, and they Saturday from midnight Friday night until midnight Saturday night, they didn't do any. Money would work, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I used to go over and light the fire on for them. We didn't have gas cookers in those days. You had to have a fire. And I used to go over and light the fire for them and set the meal, and then later in the day go and wash up and see that they'll come. They were very orthodox Jews.
Yeah.
They were very nice people and charming people.
And you say they were persecuted a bit because they were thought to be lumped to be
lumped with the Germans.
They were Jews,
people didn't like Jews, I think, because Jews were hard working people that did well. They only did well because they worked hard. This man was a tailor, and he was what's known as a bespoke tailor. He didn't have a shop. He used to come round to the houses and measure them the men for the suits in the house.
Yeah.
Then he made them in his, he had the front room, had a table in about as big as this floor.
Mm-hmm.
He used to sit cross-legged on the table, making the suits. It was wonderful. They were very cheap in those days, you know. If you got a bespoke tailor's suit, you'd arrive. Because other than that, it was Jackson's, a tailor's, a pound for a suit, a bowler, and a pair of shoes.
Was it?
And a pair of braces.
Uh-huh.
So if you got one made, of course, you're... That was one of my jobs, I remember distinctly. But I don't know what they did now, I'm sure. But, and they were very kind people, you know, very kind indeed. And they had a son who went in the war and he was killed in the war.
Yeah.
You know, a Jewish soldier was something strange in those days.
Mm.
I don't think that would happen really, but he was killed in the war. He was a nice boy. But it was a tragedy, though, wasn't it?
And you think Jews, not just Polish Jews, but Jews generally were unpopular?
Shums, the butchers in Middlesbrough, they were Jews.
And were unpopular?
Oh, the people had the windows broken and people threw stones at them. All Jews were persecuted in the war. We didn't talk about Hitler persecuting them, we
didn't.
But
we didn't.
Yeah.
As bad.
Not in so vast numbers.
Yeah.
We didn't send them to the gas chamber.
Mm, yes.
But they were by no means popular in the war.
Mm.
They were foreigners.
Mm.
You know.
What about other minority groups? Was there any bad feeling, to say, between Catholic minority groups and anti-Catholics or not?
We sort of tolerated one another in those days. There was no set up against one another.
No.
Protestants always felt they had the superior edge over the Catholics.
Mm.
They were regarded as Irish. I don't know what you are.
It was just...
They were regarded as Irish,
yeah.
And they'd come over on the potato boats, you know, you see. So all Roman Catholics, it didn't matter who they were regarded as Irish people that had come over here in the famine. When the potato famine was in Ireland, they all came over.
Yeah.
And they used to say he's still got the mud from the bogs on his shoes. And the navvies they were in the main, first of all, of course, but then people did come over. But Roman Catholics were a minority group. You just sort of thought of them as Roman Catholics.
Mm.
Not worth bothering with. There was no fighting.
Not real, but...
No.
Jews were in a worse...
Everybody was tolerated and...
You'd say Jews were in a worse position.
Jews were definitely in a very awkward situation in the First World War. Very, very awkward indeed. You see... Some of the Jews were taken away and put into prison camps.
Yes.
Polish Jews and German Jews that had come here before the war and were then living here. Well, they were still Germans. They weren't naturalised English people.
Yeah.
So they were taken and put into a prisoner of war camp. Well, I don't know whether they were prisoners of war, but prison camps of some sort.
Mm.
They were very much, I remember, you don't realise how badly they were persecuted until you grow up and you understand what it was all about.
Mm.
Had a rough time in the war. And it took several years afterwards for them to be accepted in society. They did well. It wasn't the fact that they were Jews or Germans or whatever. They prospered.
Mm.
And English people used to say, look at them. You know, how have they got that? Not honestly.
Yeah.
Because we'd worked all our lives and hadn't been able to attain what they had.
Mm.
But they worked harder and saved harder, lived a much lower standard.
Mm.
And I think that's why they're persecuted, because they prospered.
Mm.
And I think that's why they're persecuted in Germany.
Yeah, oh yes. Mm. It happens with Asians as well now, doesn't it?
Well, they work hard, don't
they?
Mm. No, there were no prejudices as there are now. I think the biggest, not a prejudice, but people didn't regard the Methodist Church with favour. Of course, it was Wesleyan in those days. We felt that they'd reneged, they'd sort of slipped out of the net, as it were.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And there again, the Wesleyans were mainly the tradespeople of the town. They were also in a more better financial position than the mass. And strange, they were regarded as not odd or with enmity, but they were regarded as people had let the side down.
Mm.
They thought they'd improved themselves, which they did, of course.
Yes.
But it was thought that they'd let the side down.
Yes. Yes. What else do you remember about the First World War? Actually, do you remember anything?
I remember the Zeppelin being shot down.
Yes.
Everybody remembers that.
Yes.
I remember the building of the after war. The building of the road from Port Clarence to Hartlepool.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
That coast road.
Yes.
Was built by German prisoners of war.
Oh, yeah.
And they built cages with wire mesh. Oh, I think about 100 yards long and the width of the road, 40 feet wide.
Mm.
And the Germans were brought in lorries in the morning and put inside of the cages to do that section of the road.
Oh, really?
Then when that section was finished, the cage was moved on a bit more and they did another section. And soldiers with rifles.
Yeah.
But everybody was sorry for the German prisoners of war, strangely.
Were they?
Mm. Oh, yes. People used to give them food and what they could afford. They were sorry for them because they looked so bedraggled and lost.
Mm.
And they were lost, you see.
Where were their camps? Where did they stay? Do you know?
Very strange. I can't remember where the camps were.
Mm.
It's funny that. Actually, I haven't a clue.
Mm.
But they used to bring them, it would be local somewhere.
Yes.
They used to bring them in lorries. Mm. Oh, I'll tell you where it might have been. Gunnigan Hall. That was taken over in the war by the military. And they may have had them there. I wouldn't be sure.
Yeah.
You won't know where Gunnigan Hall is.
Not exactly.
It's Middlesbrough. Where the new police station is, that new police place in Martin, at the end of Martin Road, just beyond the...
Oh, I see.
It's Saltersgill Avenue.
Yes.
Goes into that road, what you call Low Lane, and straight over the road, it's the road to Gunnigat Lane.
Yeah.
It's all built in now, right. Nowadays. When we were taken to Gunnigat Hall, that was a holiday, we were in the country.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I think they
might have been.
Yes. Mm. And then, of course, there was a Hemlington Hospital, which was for wounded soldiers.
Mm.
It was built for the war.
Any other war memories, particularly, from the First World War? Anything else stand out in your mind?
Kitchener being drowned on the Hampshire. That was a tremendous thing that happened.
Mm.
It seems such a petty thing, doesn't it? Yes, Kitchener being drowned. And all the people being killed in the Somme.
Mm.
That was the biggest tragedy this country had known until then, of course. Everybody had somebody killed.
Yeah.
Not just the street, day after day, you'd see the telegraph lad come with a telegram on a bike.
Mm.
And you knew when somebody, you saw him coming that somebody had been killed.
Mm.
And I think the Somme, that was one of the worst things that ever happened in the war.
Mm. Did you have any of your family?
No. I had a brother who was a prisoner of war in Russia.
Did you?
Mm. And he was in the salt mines for 3 years.
Was he?
Yes.
Mm. How do you remember your school days?
I remember them as very good.
Yes.
We had very good teachers in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And women teachers, of course, because of the war.
They
came in. But they...
Well, did you go to that school when you were five, or was that your second?
I went there when you were three.
Three years
not five. Well, I went when I was four, but when my sister started school, I was older than she was. And I said to the teacher, could I bring my sister? She was three.
Yes.
and she was allowed to start 3-year-old, which was against the rules, but people weren't particular in those days about rules. And although I don't know, there were sometimes, but the teachers, you respected the teachers. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why, because they were always dressed in their proper clothes. They didn't go in pullovers and training boots and things like that. They went properly groomed. That's why the people respected them in those days. They wouldn't have respected anybody going dressed up like a tramp. But school teachers, you automatically respected them. They lived honest, good lives in those days. They didn't do anything daft, which people do now. And of course, the generation now accept it, but we wouldn't have had teachers. We'd have hounded them out, I think, if we'd had teachers like that. There were always some were very, very harsh, you know. They were an English teacher. They'd go along in the front row of the class and belt everybody on Monday morning and say, "That's what you're getting for doing nothing. So behaviour."
Really?
Oh, yeah. They worked to a syllabus. We went home for lunch. Because everybody lived round the school. There were more communities than anything else, you see. The school was a very important part of the community. But you respected the teachers. They lived good lives. And they were groomed. And that was important.
Did you have to wear a uniform?
No. You wouldn't have been able to afford it if we had. No, you went to school, depending on in the summer, sailor suits, linen sailor suits.
Yeah.
But ordinary a coat and a pair of shorts. Shoes were a big problem.
Were they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, shoes were a big problem. Lots of children didn't have shoes. And they used to be set up by the... So when you went home, even the better-to-do children had to take the school shoes off.
Yes.
And put a pair of heavy shoes on. You weren't allowed to
play
scuff
around
your best things, you know. And the classrooms were boards. You didn't go on carpet or canvas or polished boards. It was just plain deal boards. And the fires were a big stove. Slow combustion stove.
That's right, yeah.
Or some schools had fireplaces in, and the teacher sat at the head of at one end of the classroom, and we were 55 in a class in those days. And he would sit at the end of, on a high stool and a high desk, like squeers in
business. Yeah.
It is, but you were taught as children by rote. You repeated everything over. You never forgot, you know.
Yeah.
You never forgot it. There weren't any children that went to school in my day that left and couldn't read and write. They do now.
Yeah.
They didn't then. You were pushed a little bit. Everybody wanted their children to do a little bit better than they'd done. And that was the general thing, accepted thing. A lot of us did, but a lot of us didn't, I suppose, the same. But I remember in my school days, these children that misbehaved now, vandals and people like that, we had them then, not as many, but they were put in a reformatory school, which is the corner of Burlam Road in Middlebury. Do you know where Burlam Road is? Well, that big building on the corner was the reformatory school.
Yeah.
It was a detention centre, you would call it now. And the boys went there and they lived a very strict regime. A man called Robertson was the master. Do everything the double, you know. I remember they used to do gardens for people. There would be a party of lads with a two-wheel handcart with all the tools on, and they would go and do gardens, under the supervision of an adult. But they had to do something. And you know, they never went back.
No.
3 months there, and that was the lesson.
That was it.
I mean, that was it.
Mm.
And people would rather be sent there than birching was in form in those days, of course.
Yeah.
It was a form of punishment that was much used. 3 strokes of the birch, you know.
Yeah.
It was enough to stop lads misbehaving.
Mm.
And they would prefer to go to the reformatory school, although they would be 6 months locked up. Well, not locked up, but taken out of society.
Mm.
They'd rather go there than be birched.
Yeah.
Oh, birch. I think if they would birch some of these vandals at the moment, it would stop an awful lot of vandalism. I'm certain it would. The very extreme cases were birched in public, you know, but mainly you were bad on who birch. Fortunately, never had to do that. But it certainly stopped well, there wasn't vandalism as such. In those days, the things that you did that you shouldn't have done was to, if there was a horse and cab going along the street, you would jump on the back axle and ride on it.
Oh.